Welcome to the Senate Labor and Commerce Committee. Today is Friday, March 26th. The time is 1:30. I am Senator Costello. I'd like to welcome Vice Chair Senator Holland. Welcome.
Thank you, Madam Chair.
And Senator Gray Jackson, welcome.
Thank you.
We also have with us here Carrie and Kelsey and Melody, who are helping provide this meeting to the public and allowing for some of our appointees to call in. So today we have essentially two items that we are addressing. We have consideration of governor's appointees, and after we hear from the applicants, we will then have Senate Bill 86 before us. It is the second hearing of the bill, and I'm actually going to look to the will of the committee. I have no preconceived ideas about whether to move it out. We're going to hear some changes that were made to the committee substitute. So with that, I would like to begin with the governor's appointees. The first board that we're going to hear from are applicants to the Alaska State Board of Public Accountancy, and Rachel Hanks is on Teams. Rachel, if you could introduce yourself to the committee, provide a little bit about yourself, and then explain to us why you're interested in serving, and then we'll take public testimony and let you go on your way.
Okay. As you said, my name is Rachel Hanks. I've lived in the Fairbanks area for the last 28 years. I've attended high school and all of college here. I've served on several different nonprofit boards just to give back to the community that I've lived in for so long. And this opportunity gives me a chance to not only give back to my industry within my city, but within the state.
Great. So I've had a chance to look through your resume, and I've noticed that you have been very involved in the community, helping out with the Nanuk Hockey Booster Club and the Hockey Week in Fairbanks. You've been the treasurer for the Autism Society of Alaska, so really appreciate all of your volunteer work and your interest in serving on this board. Is there anything that you hope to accomplish as a member of the State Board of Public Accountancy, or anything that you're going to be focusing on?
The first thing I would say is just be a liaison for the Fairbanks area, because usually we only have one representative from this area. And so be able to give the Fairbanks people a chance to be heard, but also be able to bring back what the board suggests for potential changes. I do know that the peer review is one thing that is being up for discussion that they're looking at, and that affects larger firms as well as small firms. So that's one of the things I definitely want to help with.
Okay. And can you explain to us what you mean? I know what peer review is, but what do you mean it's up for consideration?
They're looking at expanding it to prepared financial statements, as well as it's already used with compilations, but it's a bigger deal for audits and reviews, okay. But they're looking at expanding who's subject to a peer review now.
Okay. Great. Well, thank you. Are there questions of committee members? All right. Senator Holland.
Yeah, I just wanted to say thank you for being so active in your community. And, I consider myself pretty good at mathematics, but accounting has always been something that eluded me. Just something about a semi-annual audit, I just always had to pull somebody else in on it. But thanks so much for being active in the community and stepping up to this board.
Thank you.
Is there anybody online who wishes to provide public testimony to the nomination of Rachel Hanks to the Alaska State Board of Public Accountancy? Okay, seeing none, I will open and close the public testimony. Rachel, thank you very much for making yourself available to the committee this afternoon.
You're very welcome. Thank you.
Next, we have the nomination of Stephen Jordan to the same board, the Alaska State Board of Public Accountancy. Stephen, if you could introduce yourself to the committee, share a little bit about your background and why you're interested in serving, that would be great.
Absolutely. My name is Stephen Jordan. I'm a lifelong Alaskan. I was born and raised in South Central Alaska. I went abroad and joined the Army for a couple of years and got my degree in accountancy from Gonzaga University. I've been practicing public accountancy with the DOD, which is kind of a niche specialty area, doing governmental accounting. I do a lot of compliance and expert witness work for fraud investigation in the past, and predominantly right now it's U.S. Army Corps of Engineers and attestation reviews over government-let contracts. I have been a CPA for, I don't know, the past 12 years, going on this May, and I hold 6 or 7 other certifications. I've done a little bit of private accounting for about 1.5 years. I worked with a buddy out of college, and we had our own 1040 shop. Beyond that, I was looking to broaden my technical expertise beyond the audit and investigation field work. And one of my mentors said that a good way to do that would be to volunteer for Alaska State Board of Public Accountancy. So I did that in 1.5 years ago, I suppose, and this is where the process has led. I'm primarily focused in audit rather than tax, so I think that's a good thing. And I do know about the increasing requirements of peer reviews and investigations and all that stuff. And coming from the DOD, which just adopted a lot of those same regulations under the NASB, I think it would be a good stepping stone into how our state governs it. So that was a way to kind of do some community service and a little bit of good for my hometown and my home state, and, you know, still be useful as a member of the community in which I am, which is an accountant, right? I think there's a big disconnect sometimes between what's going on in the field and what the state has to go there. So if you can act as a mediator or a liaison function, I think that really helps. Any your questions?
Yeah, wonderful. Thank you very much, Stephen. Is there anybody online who wishes to provide public testimony to the nomination of Stephen Jordan to the Alaska State Board of Public Accountancy? Okay, seeing none, I will open and close public testimony. Stephen, thank you for making yourself available. Certainly, you're quite accomplished, and we're really lucky to have so many talented Alaskans willing to serve on boards. Thank you. Oh, Senator Holland?
Thank you, Madam Chair. I just had a question. Stephen, are you still there?
Yes, sir.
When you were in JTF Gitmo, were you with the Guard, or was it a government services job? If I could just ask that.
Yeah, I can speak around the peripheries of what I did. I can't speak directly to it. I actually was mobilized with the Alaska National Guard down to Cuba. I went down there to start out in the fore shop, and then I found myself running the night OIC, officer in charge of Camp 5. At that point, there was some consternation going down there, some political intrigue, and there's an OPSEC violation, and it resulted in essentially all their accounting staff being removed for violations. So there was a poll that went out for anybody that had accounting experience and knew GFIBS, which is government-funded business enterprise systems. It's a fancy way of saying the government, in particular the Army's accounting system. And I had all those criteria, so I quickly found myself as the deputy comptroller. And then when he left 4 months later, I found myself as a comptroller, and I was there for another 9.5 months. So it was a really interesting period of my life, a lot of stress and a lot of work, but I rather enjoyed it. Did that get to the gist of your question, or would you like to know more?
Well, that was it. I've been in Camp 5, too. I got to spend 2007 in JTF Gitmo, and I can say this much. Nice. I got to drive a boat around a lot. It was a lot of fun for my part of the job, at least, and a little bit of stress,
too. Oh, outstanding. Were you with the Coast Guard?
Coast Guard, yep. We controlled the water in JTF Gitmo.
Yeah, no, I'm very, very familiar with the PSU down there. Right. Down there with a whole bunch of California guys.
Well, impressive resume. Appreciate all the detail you went on it, and thanks so much for stepping up.
All right. Have a great day, sir.
Thank you. So next we have Ed Leonetti, who is a nominee for the State Board of Registration for Architects, Engineers, and Land Surveyors. Ed, if you could introduce yourself to the committee. Hi there. He's on team.
Hello. Thank you. Good afternoon, Madam Chair Costello and members of the Labor and Commerce Committee. My name is Ed Leonetti. I was born and raised in Washington State and have called Alaska home for the last 20 years. I live in Dena'ina Ethnina, which means the traditional homelands of the Dena'ina people. They have been here for thousands of years, and they are here today. We are thankful for their careful attention to the stewardship of the land and look forward to their insightful management in the future. My combination of work experience and volunteer board experience makes me an ideal participant for the AELS board. I'm a licensed professional landscape architect in Alaska and 4 other states with 20 years of experience. As the landscape architect in responsible charge, I lead the design of commercial developments, site plans, public parks, playgrounds, plazas, and integrated planting plans across the state. My most recent project includes integrating the Alaska Native culture into a new facility here in Anchorage. As PM and landscape architect, all aspects of this facility integrates the five Alaska Native cultures. On the exterior, this includes the overall building form with traditional Dena'ina patterns. Inside the facility, the classrooms are designed around the traditional southeast plank house with a fire pit in the middle and a sloping wood ceiling. And again, back to the outside, the playground is based on traditional hunting and fishing camp with whalebone climbers, sod house, and a hill slide. These unique aspects of Alaska are why I love Alaska and enjoy practicing landscape architecture here. My past board experience includes quasi-judicial commissions and nonprofit boards. During these past experiences, there were times we made unanimous decisions and other times that we were divided. These events prove that a healthy board or commission doesn't always agree, but allows each member to have their own time to state their concerns. This allows for a healthy discussion as a group that stays on topic and resolves motions on the table. Both listening and working collaboratively are key skills the AELS board will benefit from my participation. And as confirmed by you, I will collaborate with board members with a commitment to put the public first by protecting their health, safety, and welfare. I hold with high regard the responsibility to ensure state statutes are followed. Thank you for the opportunity to speak, and I can answer any questions you may have.
Thank you, Ed. Your contributions to that project seem pretty valuable, and I'm glad I live in Anchorage and I can see it. Are there any questions that committee members have? Okay. Seeing none, thank you. I did notice that we have several individuals who are being nominated to this board. Do you happen to know, is it going to be full of folks who are bringing a new vision to the board, or are there members who've been serving before? Are you aware of that?
I'm a little bit aware. I believe perhaps there's five or six members before you guys today or in the next couple of weeks. And I want to say about half or maybe just slightly half are returning and the other half are new. And so I'm not that familiar with the board or the new members that are coming in. So I can't really speak to if it's bringing new energy or new process or anything. I'm looking forward to meeting everybody. Lauren Lehman, well, I forgot his title, former
Lieutenant Governor,
thank you. he's returning, and I look forward to working with him. I've heard him speak at the House side for the confirmation hearings, and he sounds very energetic. And but aside from that, a couple of the engineers that are on there, I don't know, but as well as the architects. But I look forward to working with them. I hope that answers your question a little bit.
Great. Yeah, that does. And I had the honor of serving Lauren Lehman here in the state Senate. And also he came to a robotics competition as a judge. And I serve with him on the Engineering Advisory Council, which kind of looks over all of the different high school and also middle school programs that are trying to develop our own engineers, and obviously architects too, and land surveyors. So I think growing our own in Alaska is really important, so that people can, you know, graduate from school here and stay here and raise their families here. I think that's really wonderful. So I appreciate you putting your name forward for this important board. Is there anybody online who wishes to testify on the nomination of Ed Leonetti to the board for architects, engineers, and land surveyors? Okay, seeing none, I will open and close public testimony. Ed, thank you so much for making yourself available today and for your passion for your industry and for your willingness to serve.
Thank you. Appreciate your guys' time. Thanks.
Next, we have Jake Maxwell, who is also a nominee for the State Board of Registration for Architects, Engineers, and Land Surveyors. Jake, if you could introduce yourself to the committee, explain a little bit about yourself and why you're interested in serving on this important board.
Yes, good afternoon, Madam Chair. My name is Jake Maxwell. I've been appointed to the land surveyor seat on the Board of Architects, Engineers, and Land Surveyors. I'm a lifelong Alaskan. I have worked as a land surveyor in Alaska for the past 18 years and have the opportunity to travel all over the state and work on a variety of different projects. I'm well-versed in both the field and office operations of surveying and have a solid understanding of the guidelines and standards that are applied at federal, state, and borough levels. Being part of a team committed to developing Alaska's future infrastructure sustainably is what drives me to come to work prepared to do my best. I'll also take the same drive to do my best serving on the Alaska Board of Architects, Engineers, and Land Surveyors. Working for several multidisciplinary firms, I've had the opportunity to work with many licensed professionals. Furthermore, serving on the board of directors for Alaska Professional Design Council, I've learned some of the issues surrounding other professional societies. I believe that my experience will add value and helpful perspectives. Serving on the board is an opportunity for me to give back to the professional community.
Great. Well, thank you very much, Jake, for introducing yourself to the committee. Do we have any questions for him? Senator Holland.
Thank you for stepping up to take a position on this board. I see in your line of work you've worked with UAVs, drones.
That is correct.
And I'm assuming that's just becoming a bigger and bigger part of everyday life in your line of work?
Yep, the drones and laser scanners, there's quite a bit of emerging technologies, which definitely has the ramifications that overlaps some of the professional requirements of a professional land surveyor.
I just find it amazing and there's a lot of advancements being made in Alaska itself. UAF Fairbanks has a lot of really unique drone programs. I was just curious. So, and you say you'll use it for design surveys. Is that just to kind of lay out plats?
Mainly for topographic features. I work for the Chugach Electric Association, and we've been very instrumental in flying our different projects, and we can save a considerable sum of money to take that high-resolution imagery and digitize it.
Well, thanks so much for stepping up to the ALS board. Thanks so much.
Thank you for your consideration, and I appreciate your support.
Is there anyone online who wishes to testify on the nomination of Jake Maxwell to the Board of Registration for Architects, Engineers, and Land Surveyors? Okay, I will open and close public testimony. Thank you very much, Jake, for appearing before the committee today and sharing a little bit about your interest and your background.
Thank you.
Next, we have Dr. Canaday, who is an appointee to the Board of Chiropractic Examiners. Dr. Canaday, if you could introduce yourself to the committee and share a little bit about yourself and why you're interested in serving the state in this important capacity, that would be great.
Yes, my name is Dr. Tim Canaday. I'm applying for the Alaska Board of Chiropractic Examiners. Thank you, Madam Chair, for the opportunity to talk with you today. I've lived in Alaska for 49 years. I graduated from Diamond High School in 1977, married my wife 34 years ago, have raised two children, have one granddaughter and one more on the way. I've been a chiropractor for 38 years and have served in numerous capacities as Alaska State Chiropractor Society's president, vice president, secretary, and treasurer. I was president of my alumni association for the Palmer College of Chiropractic, voted Chiropractor of the Year by the Chiropractic Society, and have served on various state and governor panels and boards. I've never had a disciplinary action or malpractice suit. I see my service on the board as one to serve and protect the people of the state of Alaska. My entire career has consisted of treating patients the way I would like to be treated. And as an avid outdoorsman, I am an advocate for Alaska's people, culture, and future. I'd like to thank you for your consideration for this position.
Wonderful. Well, thank you, Dr. Canaday. I'm aware of where your office is because I grew up on Esquire Drive. So your business on Fireweed is, a part of my growing up. And there is a question from Senator Gray Jackson.
Thank you, Madam Chair. It's not a question. I just want to say, Dr. Kennedy, thank you so much for your willingness to serve, and thank you so much for your service within our community. And it's such an honor for me to say that I'm one of your 1,000 patients for probably more than 15 years now. And you're just an amazing doctor, and I'm so glad to see you finally on this board, because I know it's a board that you wanted to be on for a long time. So congratulations, and thank you again for your service. Thank you, Madam Chair.
Thank you, Senator Gray Jackson. Is there anyone online who wishes to testify on the nomination of Dr. Kennedy to the Board of Chiropractic Examiners? Okay, seeing none, I will open and close public testimony. Dr. Kennedy, thank you so much for making yourself available today to get to know us a little better, and we will be forwarding your name along with the others for the consideration of the full legislature.
Thank you, and thank you, Madam Chair, and you guys have a good weekend.
You too. Next, we have Brian Larson, who is also an applicant for the Board of Chiropractic Examiners, and Brian is joining us via Teams. Welcome this afternoon. Please feel free to introduce yourself to the committee and share with us your interest in serving on the Board of Chiropractic Examiners.
Thank you, Madam Chair Costello. Appreciate your time and the time of all the members of your committee in this service. I'm Dr. Brian Larson. I'm a chiropractic sports physician. I've been in the state of Alaska for approximately almost 41 years now. I graduated from Sitka High School. I've worked in Alaska as a fisheries technician, a commercial fisherman, a commercial diver, a builder. I spent 10 years with the Department of Public Safety as a commissioned officer with Fish and Wildlife Protection, and of all things, a back injury ended that career. And I've now been serving the people of the state of Alaska, particularly the youth of the state, as a chiropractic sports physician for the last 18 years. After graduation from the University of Western States, which is the second Palmer Chiropractic College for Dr. Kennedy there, I immediately pursued my certification as a chiropractic sports or a certified chiropractic sports physician, which is a 100-hour postgraduate training program. And then several years later, pursued my diplomate in sports medicine under the direction of the medical director of the United States Olympic Committee, Dr. Bill Moreau. And I have treated high school athletes in Alaska literally from Ketchikan to Barrow and Cordova to Nome. That's kind of my side. I work with all types of patients. But my specialty is in sports medicine. I have served on the board. This is the beginning of hopefully my second term on the Board of Chiropractic Examiners. I've served the previous 4 years there. And the last 2 years as chairman of that board. I was voted again as chair of the board this last spring by my colleagues and at the goodwill of this committee and the House committee. I hope to be able to continue that service. The Board of Chiropractic Examiners has a commission from the governor and the legislature of the state, first and foremost, to protect the citizens of the state of Alaska and to guide and give service in physical, mental, and including financial obligations. A number of things that the board has done has been to look at and review regulations. Right now, as we have a bill that again was just dropped by one sponsor and need to find a new one. That bill is to modernize chiropractic scope of practice. In the last 40 years, there's been tremendous improvements in technology. We've learned great amounts of things, particularly in the field of nutrition and health. We've learned that sometimes taking a tablet isn't the best way, that there are injections. There have been much progress in how we administer health and nutritional supplements, and we'd like to bring the chiropractic community up to date with that. One of the things that was just pointed out to me by the State Audit Committee is we recently passed legislation that created a certified clinical chiropractic assistant to help with reimbursements from insurance companies and to work on being on par with our medical, our nursing colleagues is in physical therapy. We have physical therapy assistants in medicine. We have medical assistants in nursing. There's nursing aides. And until just recently, there had been no direct certification or licensure for chiropractic assistants that are assisting, helping and treating patients directly. And so we created that, the audit board just pointed out, however, that while we have created the position, we don't necessarily have a specific certificate, continuing education, or a way for the state to track and or if need be, to encourage or outright discipline those individuals. They work under the doctor's license, but there's no direct responsibility. So that'll be one of the responsibilities that we have as a board. Probably the biggest challenge we have as a board is there's been much confusion about our scope of practice, and that's what the bill that we've put forward and are looking for a sponsor is about, is to very specifically clarify and expand the scope of practice to allow chiropractors that seek the appropriate training experience and have received that training experience through school and other advanced education to be able to practice in that manner. While chiropractic wasn't my first profession, it's actually my third. It's something I've learned that I love, as I've enjoyed truly the opportunity to serve the people of the state of Alaska by serving on the Board of Chiropractic Examiners. And I'm available for any questions that members of the Senate committee may have for me.
Thank you very much, Dr. Larson. Are there any questions? Senator Holland.
Dr. Larson, thanks so much. I tell you, I don't have any questions because you provided all the answers in your testimony. It was quite comprehensive, and I appreciate the depth and the scope you went into it. It sounds like you've done great work on the board, and you continue to do great work on the board. Thanks so much.
Thank you. I hope to be able to meet your expectations, sir.
Thank you, Dr. Larson. Is there anybody online who wishes to provide public testimony to the nomination of Brian Larson to a reappointment to the Board of Chiropractic Examiners? Okay, seeing none, I will open and close public testimony for Dr. Larson. Dr. Larson, thank you again for making yourself available to the committee, and I wish you the best of luck in your service on the board.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Thank you to all the members of the Labor and Commerce Committee.
Senator Holland.
Thank you, Madam Chair. In accordance with Alaska Statute 39.05.080, the Labor and Commerce Committee held a hearing on the following appointees: Alaska State Board of Public Accountancy, Rachel Hanks and Steve Jordan; State Board of Registration for Architects, Engineers, and Land Surveyors, Edward Ed Leonetti and Jake Maxwell; and the Board of Chiropractic Examiners, Timothy Tim Kennedy and Brian Larson. A signature on this report does not reflect an intent by any of the members to vote for or against the confirmation of the individuals during any further sessions. Thank you, Madam Chair.
Thank you. Is there any objection to forwarding these names? Okay, seeing none, so forwarded, and we will take a moment to sign the paperwork and get ready to hear the second hearing on Senate Bill 86. Welcome back to the Senate Labor and Commerce Committee. Next on our agenda is Senate Bill 86. This is the committee bill that was extracted essentially from the governor's disaster declaration from the earlier part of the session. The title is related to temporary permits and licenses. This is the second hearing in our committee. We do have a committee substitute, so I will ask Senator Holland to move that before the committee.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I move for the committee to adopt the committee substitute for Senate Bill number 86, version Bravo, also referred to as 32-LimaSierra0531/Bravo.
Thank you, and I will go ahead and object to the adoption so that we can hear the explanation of changes from Melody Wilterdink, who is the committee aide to the Labor and Commerce Committee. Melody, welcome, and thank you for explaining the changes.
Thank you, Madam Chair, members of the committee. For the record, this is Melody Wilterdink, staff to Senator Costello. So what we have here is a full new sectional analysis, but on it there are highlighted portions that show exactly what was actually changed from this version, version Bravo, before the version Alpha. So the first one on section one is this shall. So this is page one, lines 4 through 14. And it goes on to page two, line one, but the part we're looking at is on page one here. And that shall was previously a may. And so it used to say that the Department of Commerce, Community and Economic Development may issue a temporary license permit or certificate to an individual who holds a corresponding license permit or certificate in good standing in another jurisdiction and pays the fee. Now that says shall. And then farther down here in section one, so if you get to, I believe this part will be on farther down the page there, subsection C is brand new language. And what that establishes is that the department, and this is the same Department of Commerce, Community, and Economic Development, shall issue a temporary license within 10 days after the receipt of the complete application from the spouse of an active duty military member of the Armed Forces of the United States who meets the requirements. So these are military spouses who are coming to Alaska, who have received their orders. They've applied for that temporary license. They will only have to wait 10 days to receive it so they can begin work. Those are the only two changes throughout, so the remainder of the sectional looks the same.
Thank you, Melody. I will go ahead and remove my objection to the committee substitute. Is there any further objection to adopting the committee substitute before the committee? Okay, seeing none, the committee substitute has been adopted. We do have some invited testimony today. We have Sarah Chambers, who's the director of the Division of Corporations, Businesses, and Professional Licensing. Sarah's no stranger to this committee, and we appreciate, Sarah, that you made yourself available. After Sarah, we will hear from Mary Beth Goodman, who is a licensed professional counselor and a military spouse here in Alaska. Then we also have Tammy Perio from the Department of Defense Joint Base Lewis-McChord in Washington, who is online for questions. And we certainly welcome your comments also, Tammy. So thank you for being available. So with that, Sarah, welcome. And please feel free to provide any comments or feedback.
Thank you, Madam Chair, members of the committee. For the record, this is Sarah Chambers, Director of the Division of Corporations, Business, and Professional Licensing. And we really appreciate the committee's working on temporary licensure and military spouse issues, continuing to move toward some of the goals that the governor has recommended in previous years and which we have been working with Alaska's military community for the last couple of years as well, including Ms. Perot with the Department of Defense. We have been striving as the administration to do everything that we can to move all licenses, not just military spouses, but all licenses forward as quickly and efficiently as possible. But there are certain elements of licensure that are really difficult to overcome. And my understanding is that this bill would, and my reading of this bill, is that this would help to reduce the hurdles for anyone who would need a professional license issued by our division and help them to get to work while they are finishing up a permanent license application in the state. And there are some, the bill has, the first version as well as the CS have some safeguards. They need to be able to have an unencumbered license in another state, which means that other states have vetted their requirements and that they are meeting those safety standards, those educational standards. And so we would be able to, we would be required to, with the CS, to issue that license if they meet those requirements. And really, to be honest, the number one complaint that we get, and really the number one complaint we hear from legislators, is that people are waiting a long time to get to work. They often, applicants will often, especially in healthcare professions, have to wait until a variety of documents arrive from sources they can't control, whether it's the transcript from their alma mater, whether it is hospital verifications. Some physician applications have to wait for hundreds of documents to come in, and this would help to hit the basics of safety and education and then allow time for the rest of those to come in while they're providing health care to Alaskans. So the provisions in this bill would help to meet some of the major concerns that we hear, that we're facing, that healthcare providers, healthcare facilities are facing, people who just want to get to work so they can provide for their families and contribute to the economy in Alaska, and then especially the military spouse and active duty and needs. It's a huge priority for us, and it's a huge priority for the Department of Defense. So so that area is also moving forward with this bill. So I'm available to answer any questions about our processes or about the impact of the bill on those processes.
Thank you very much, Sarah. So as we had mentioned at the beginning of the committee, this legislation, along with several other pieces of legislation, were taken out of a measure that would have extended a disaster declaration. My question to you has to do with the effective date. So currently the bill has an effective date of January 1st, 2022. Do you see that as adequate, or would you prefer an immediate effective date? And on top of that question, I'm wondering, do the boards need to be writing some regulations, and is that perhaps why this has a later effective date in this draft?
Thank you, Madam Chair. That's an excellent question. I am satisfied with the January effective date, I think for the reasons that you mentioned, that we would need a little time to gear this up and work with the boards on their regulations and complete forms and application processes.
Thank you, Sarah. And so then it's my understanding that any other measure passed by the legislature that addresses the temporary licensure would then be in effect, and then this would come in on the heels of that, giving the boards time to draft their regulations.
Madam Chair, I apologize. My phone must have been cutting out. Could you repeat your question?
I was just commenting on my understanding that if the legislature passed a measure that would allow the governor to address some of the pandemic concerns without a declaration, that this bill would then come on the heels of that at a good time for the providing enough time for the boards to write the regulations.
Yes, Madam Chair. Thank you. I agree.
Okay, thank you very much. Next, we have Mary Beth Goodman, who is, as I mentioned before, a licensed professional counselor and military spouse. So she's been invited to testify and share her story and also explain whether or not she believes this bill would be a good way to address some of the concerns. Mary Beth?
Yes, ma'am. Thank you. Good afternoon, Madam Chair and members of the committee. Thank you for allowing me to be present today and share my personal experience. My name is Mary Beth Goodman, and I do rise in support of Senate Bill 86. I am a licensed professional counselor in the great state of Alaska. Come to think of it, I also hold licenses in North Dakota, Nebraska, Colorado, Florida, Missouri, New Mexico, and Virginia. I also hold my national certification in counseling. I have been practicing counseling for over 22 years. I hold special certifications in trauma, post-traumatic stress disorder, family systems, eating disorders, critical incident stress management, autism and sensory processing disorders. My resume boasts experience with inner-city psychiatric emergency rooms, residential treatment centers, nationally acclaimed eating disorder clinics, and veteran rehabilitation nonprofit organizations. I have a 25-year job history that would impress even the most selective employers. I have been diligent in gathering continuing education units throughout my 22 years and have amassed well over 750 hours of CEs. I'm a veteran spouse now for 5 months, and prior to that, an active duty spouse for 25 years. Before retiring here to Alaska, we had 12 formal duty stations in 10 different states. I'm a self-proclaimed expert in transferring my license. I began the process for licensure here in Alaska as an active duty spouse in October of 2019. My license was granted June 1st, 2020, 9 long months later. Now, my process always takes a little bit longer because my degree was granted in 1998, long before digital records existed. Anyone on the committee remember microfiche? I was also required to submit all verification of all of my licenses held in other states. This means not only did I have to wait for them to certify and send them, I also had to pay 9 additional states anywhere between $25 to $100 for these official verifications. Tacking on transcript fees and application fees, my application cost well over $2,000. Request for this information is a needless delay, as the process is that most states verify through their website and are monitored by their boards. Now, I need you to understand, and please hear this. I was treated with the utmost kindness and wonderful courtesy from the counseling board, often conversing with them every day for months. However, throughout this entire process, I felt like my experience and my other state licenses were invalid, that my 22 years of clinical experience simply did not count. I eventually had to quote the Military Spouse License Portability Act, or House Resolution 5683, and ask if I needed to get legal assistance to navigate this process. I can only speak from my personal experience in the area of mental health counseling. I can tell you that in my 22 years of clinical practice in multiple states, my techniques have only changed based on clinical empirical evidence, not based on where the client lives. Temporary licenses issued immediately upon application completion is misleading. My application was completed in March, and my license was issued in June. That's a respectable amount of time. However, getting my application complete took me a significant amount of time simply because of the mandates placed upon me by the licensure board. It's unnecessary and delays the process of getting spouses to work. My application process took 9 long months, 9 months that I could have been helping the residents of Alaska, 9 months that I could have been paying state income tax. 9 months matters. Helping military spouses establish license and employment benefits benefit our communities financially and by filling critically needed positions. I am an asset to your state. I am here to fill vacancies that are unfilled. I am here to solve the deficit of mental health providers. I volunteer 20 hours a month to assist in suicide prevention and suicide education in our communities. I am present in the veteran and military health mental health communities, helping individuals who are at high risk. I will supervise, educate, and mentor licensure candidates who are graduating from local institutions. I am an active voter. I am your constituent. I am not unique. There are many major military installations in this state that boast the highest caliber of military spouse. Please do not ignore this resource. In closing, I would like to thank you for allowing me to practice mental health counseling here. Thank you for giving me the opportunity to leave the state a little bit better than where I found it. I'm sure you can relate to that statement because that is what you too have been called to do as legislators.
Mary Beth, thank you so much for your powerful testimony, and certainly I can tell you that what helps most in our jobs is to hear from Alaskans and your personal experiences so that we can try to improve the process. And I can tell you, this committee and the members on it, including Senator Reback, are very interested in welcoming military spouses with open arms. Senator Holland.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I just wanted to say, first of all, I just heard your certification. So, yeah, I think you are pretty unique, whether you think so or not. But the other point, I believe I've seen someone question about whether this bill should extend the temporary license for 12 months or 6 months. And really, it sounds like 9 long months easily. 6 months could not be long enough to get through some of the requirements you discussed having a struggle with, correct?
I concur. Absolutely, sir.
All right. Well, once again, thank your spouse for their service, and thank you for your service. I know the families of military do their own service, but thanks so much.
Thank you.
Again, thank you, Mary Beth. I really appreciate you making time to share your experience with the committee. Tammy Perio is from the Department of Defense and is online. She's with the Joint Base Lewis-McChord in Washington. Tammy, after hearing Mary Beth's testimony, can you share with the committee if this is a common experience for military spouses across the country? And is there anything, any reflections that you could provide to the committee about whether or not there's a better way to do things, or perhaps, you know, what comes to mind for me is the most recent, educational experience, or is there a process or a state perhaps that does it really well that we could actually look to and work with and try to emulate more? Tammy, could you answer some of those questions, please?
Chair Costello and members of the committee, thank you so much for the opportunity to speak to you today and discuss Senate Bill 86, which the Department of Defense supports in its work to improve temporary licenses for our military spouses. Currently, there are approximately 16 other states that provide some type of exception for military spouses, which ensures that they can receive a temporary license in an effective manner based on the fact that they hold a license in a previous state. Mary Beth's story is not unique. Mary Beth's story is a story which I hear over and over again from military spouses who struggle to stay licensed as they move from state to state. And that's why it is a priority for the Department of Defense to help improve military spouse licensure. As a matter of fact, a letter was sent to Governor Dunleavy last year specifically addressing this issue and asking the state of Alaska to make some progress on this issue. We have worked closely with Director Chambers and her role to help develop legislation that has and policies that have made this progress, and Senate Bill 86 reflects much of this. So we appreciate the opportunity to support temporary licensure in Alaska. I would like to echo Senator Holland in that 1 year does seem as though it would be appropriate in this case, and to issue that temporary license based on the license being in good standing in a previous state. I stand for your further questions, Senator.
Questions? Senator Holland?
I tell you, I had a question in my mind. I will have to let it go by. I just got caught up in a loss. I knew I had a question in there, but I'm sorry. I apologize, Madam Chair.
That's fine. It happens to the best of us. Tammy, I guess, I mean, I'm both encouraged and in some ways, you know, hearing the stories, it's a little bit, it saddens us because we know that the military families sacrifice so much for our country. So I can, again, just assure you that if there are ways to improve this legislation, or if Sarah Chambers has any ideas, we are definitely open for that. Senator Holland.
And thank you. I've recovered from my brain problem, my brain inactivity. I got lost in the conversation, but I just wanted to remind everyone listening that the bill is not just for the military. The bill just does capture that group, but there's a lot to be said for streamlining the program and making where people can more easily enter the workforce when they come to Alaska for whatever reason. But I'm sure military families moving every 3 or 4 years having to restart from square one in a new state, you lose an awful lot of time over 20, 30-year career at 6 months at a time.
Thank you, Senator Holland, and I appreciate those comments because we have been focusing on the military spouse aspect of the bill. As we mentioned, this came out of the disaster declaration, and we were taking a harder look at whether or not we need to look at some of our statutes. So the only difference is that in relation to the temporary license, this legislation now says that it shall be issued within 10 days of the complete application. And then other professions will also have a temporary license that would be good for a year. And Sarah, if you're still online, could you answer the question whether or not the 10-day deadline is something that would be achievable by the division, or will you need, additional resources? I mean, how do you contemplate being able to meet that statutory change if this does pass?
Thank you, Madam Chair. Again, for the record, this is Sarah Chambers with the Department of Commerce. And the 10 days as written in the bill would be fairly difficult for us to achieve. We are a very lean division and don't have a lot of extra staff to take on additional work. So the 10 days would be difficult, and really any particular mandated window of time would be difficult, but we would follow the policy of the legislature and be sure that we were requesting additional resources to make sure that happens. Ms. Perot might be able to back me up on this, but I know that one of the best practices issued by the Department of Defense is to have a single point of contact within the licensing agency to assist military spouses and to try to, again, make it easier for them to identify the labyrinth of government requirements, especially when they're changing locations. They're dealing with new school systems and all kinds of paperwork. So one of the best practices is to have a point person, and so that's an idea that with additional resources, we would not only be able to be we would not only be more likely to achieve a mandated window, but also the increased work of the temporary licensing for all of our programs and to follow those best practices.
Thank you very much, Sarah. Are there additional questions? I did want to also mention before I call on Senator Stevens that he has joined us, has been listening in for a while, and we also have been joined by Representative Nelson. Welcome. Here for Senate Bill 86, Temporary Permits and Licenses. Senator Stevens?
Well, thank you, Madam Chair. I apologize for not being able to make some of this meeting, but Sarah, can you tell me what is it you have to accomplish in that 10 days or whatever that time is? What is it you have to do to look into that person's background? Do you do a police check, fingerprinting? What has to be accomplished in that amount of time, whatever it is?
Thank you, Senator. The requirement under Senate Bill 86 would be for us to make sure that the applicant's licenses are in good standing, which means that we would have to verify that there wasn't any discipline that would be that they didn't violate any laws in the other jurisdiction where they're licensed. And we've actually made some progress just because the world continues to advance technologically. Even since Ms. Goodman, who you heard from earlier, applied, where we are able to do more online rather than waiting for other jurisdictions to send in that information. The problem that we have in trying to meet a deadline is under this bill is not going to necessarily be the requirements of the processes of the bill, but that we have 43 different licensing programs, and as much as we try to cross-train, are not able to no one person is an expert on all 43 programs, and sometimes people, life happens and they are on leave and they get sick and are on vacation, and we don't have redundancy for most of our programs. So we want to make sure that we're able to meet this requirement for military spouses, but also just improve our turnaround time for everyone who's expecting a military temporary permit in addition to military spouses. As I said earlier, one of the number one complaints that we get is that healthcare facilities need providers to be licensed so they can fill a gap in service to Alaskans, and the licensing process just takes too long.
Senator Stevens?
No, thank you, Chairman.
Thank you. And Sarah and also Tammy, is it both of your opinion that having a point person in Alaska for the military spouse connection, is that something that you believe would make that more possible, Sarah? Because then you would have not only just the licensure board representative, but also somebody who's up in the division, in the division staff.
Yes, Madam Chair, this is Sarah Chambers, and that makes a lot of sense in my working with military spouses and military spouse liaisons for various bases in the state. There is a huge gap in communication between the military and their spouse support and our agency, and probably many government agencies, because it is a labyrinth that they need to figure out. So if we are able to augment what we've already done to make it really clear and obvious to the military spouses that they can receive this concierge level of service from our staff with that use of that point person, then we'll be able to better meet their needs more quickly and reduce their frustration. One of the elements that the Department of Defense has passed along to the state, to the governor, is that basing decisions will be in part dependent upon a state's military family friendliness, and having meeting some of their best practices not only is going to improve the quality standards for the spouses, but also have a strong economic benefit to the state, because we will not have the low rating that we currently do with the Department of Defense as far as licensing and military spouse friendliness goes. So we appreciate these steps to be able to accomplish that goal as well.
Thank you very much, Sarah. Okay, seeing no further questions, I want to thank all of the invited testifiers this afternoon. I am going to hold the bill, and we will be hearing it probably next Wednesday under bills previously heard. So that concludes this afternoon's meeting. Our next meeting will be Monday, March 29th at 1:30. The committee will consider additional governor appointees and Senate Bill number 40, Veterans Benefits Services and Disclosure. So with that, we are adjourned.